Today, I want to share with you three poems by a retired pastor named Steve Garness Holmes. These are poems which he writes and shares to use for daily devotion on his blog, which is entitled Unfolding Light. You can find it at unfoldinglight.net. Perhaps you heard me share a couple of these some years ago, but they're so powerful, so insightful, so reflective of today's text that I really wanted to share a couple of them again, plus a new one. Here's the first, a poem entitled Right Sacrifice, based on our text, making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. Let's correct a few misconceptions from your Sunday school comic book pictures. First, he didn't use the whip on people. He uses it to herd the animals out. Second, he's not mad. This is an outburst. It takes time and patience to braid a whip. It's carefully staged symbolic street theater, a protest. Third, the money changers belong there. They exchange Jewish coins acceptable for offerings or for buying sacrificial animals, for the unclean Roman money that people carry. It's how you make a sacrifice. And they aren't overcharging. Jesus isn't criticizing commercialization. He's protesting sacrifice. A deep instinct tells us our brokenness before God can be fixed by transferring it elsewhere, making another creature or person or race suffer for us. A little saving violence, a scapegoat. Jesus disrupts our sacrifices. After all, we're not making the sacrifice. The sheep is. He doesn't use the whip to hurt people. It's to rescue the sheep. Stop this, he says, on behalf of God. I will be the sheep. Our brokenness is accepted as is. God is the one who suffers. We break all 10 commandments when we pretend otherwise. That poem hits me hard. I had read this scripture text, today's reading from John, so many times over the years, but until I read that poem, I never realized the whipping was not against people. The whipping was about saving the cows and saving the sheep. Many years ago, I had begun to realize this story, especially our version we read in John, is not about Jesus being angry because people are selling stuff. The way Deacon Katie told it is mostly in the other Gospels. But this passage has nothing to do the way John tells it with children being told not to ask their church friends to buy Girl Scout cookies or banned fruit while they're at church. That's what I have been led to believe growing up. It's about Jesus being opposed to religious faith being enacted through the ritual of sacrifice. It's about Jesus trying to help us see that following God is not about making a sacrifice. And yet it never occurred to me, never hit me, that what Jesus is doing in John's gospel is saving the cattle, saving the sheep from dying for us. It's so obvious once you see it. It says it right there in the text. What John is trying to tell us, of course, isn't it obvious once we think about the whole story of Jesus? What John is trying to tell us by revealing our misunderstanding of who God is and what God wants, what Jesus is trying to do is save us from sacrifice more to save us from sacrificing each other. Of course, a look at the news almost any day reveals that has not stopped. Yes, Jesus has transformed, is transforming humanity already, but not yet. The work is not yet complete. We still sacrifice one another. The entire conflict, that never-ceasing conflict between the Palestinian people, the Israeli people, is a never-ending story, it seems, of people on one side being willing to sacrifice people on the other side in order to get what they want, be it land or security or freedom. Whether it's the horrific attack by Hamas starting the current conflict by launching rockets, crossing the border, attacking military bases and civilians, killing over 1,000, taking more than 250 hostages, or whether it's the nearly 30,000 Palestinian civilians who've died since from retributive attacks and a blockade of aid and food. This week there were stories of children dying from starvation or from having been poisoned by eating animal food or grass or drinking contaminated water. Both sides are caught in the trap of believing that the sacrifice of others, of our enemies, is necessary, is justified to achieve victory. Another example that I've been hearing about repeatedly, think of the practice. You've probably thought of it, noticed it. So many large companies hiring only part-time employees so they don't have to pay benefits. I recently read most large companies have departments which help their underpaid employees sign up for food stamps and other government assistance. In effect, they're sacrificing the possibility of empowering people to move into the middle class. They're sacrificing their workers, the communities they live in, other taxpayers, sacrificing others for the bottom line. For the shareholders. I would suggest that even a quick glance at the news will reveal so many examples, concrete proof that we have not stopped scapegoating, blaming, hating, sacrificing each other. Proof that we still have not fully grasped, not fully understood that God doesn't want us to envy one another, compete with one another, strive against one another, do each other in for our own benefit, but instead to care for one another, cooperate with one another, help one another, love one another, be God's beloved community together. The fact is, the Christ, Jesus, God, as the poem said, suffers for us, suffers on account of us, suffers still because of us, because we believe the way, the only way, is sacrifice. Here's the second poem entitled Destroy This Temple. Again, Pastor Steve Garness Holmes. God, give me courage to destroy the sacred structures so familiar and safe that sustain my habits and beliefs and protect my benefit while sacrifices are made on my behalf, not my life, not my blood. Give me the audacity to overturn the tables of racism, tribalism, sectarianism, to drive out the money changers of privilege and entitlement. Give me courage to disrupt my worship of myself, the temple of my own well-being, so the body of my self-giving may be raised. Give me courage to allow you to tear down and raise up even me. Friends, this is the good news. Jesus came to save the sheep from blaming one another, rivaling one another, perpetrating violence against one another, oppressing one another, destroying one another, killing one another, not the sheep of the temple, us, the sheep of his own flock, the children of humanity. Jesus came to do, to reveal, to make possible a new way forward. Jesus came to do something unimaginable and life-giving. He came to reveal that God's way is not what we thought it was, that what we thought was God's way was only our way projected onto God. Jesus came to reveal God's way is different from our way, but that our way, we can be changed, transformed, be turned towards God's way. He came to make that new way for us possible by giving us something to trust, something to grab hold of, something to live into, to embody. Jesus came to make possible our embodying him the same way that he embodies us. Jesus made a whip to save the sheep, to turn no's into yeses, to turn death into life. This is the good news. Jesus came to save the sheep. And Jesus calls us to live into his life-saving work by joining him in doing it. Good news indeed. In closing, one more poem entitled Gift. We too often have a faith of exchanges. I'm good and God blesses me. But this is not so. Everything is a gift. If your purse has been cleaned out, if you have nothing to offer, what then but your humble need and God's generous grace? The real challenge is to learn to overturn your own tables. Dear God, give us the courage as we walk this journey of Lent to allow us, to allow you to tear down, to build up. Help us to overturn our tables. Amen.